It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Got a lot of sports to talk about here with you. We've been recapping the Cowboys' preseason loss. I think that's 8 or 9 years in a row they've lost a preseason game. I do like that, how Shoddy is just saying, look, this doesn't matter. We're focusing on things we can control, you know, trying to keep guys healthy. Love what he did with Booker. Just go ahead and sit the rookie out. You know, he's going to be pretty good. Let's not, you know, have any injury risk. Don't want a Landon Dickerson situation developing, who, by the way, is going to have surgery for what turns out to be a torn meniscus for Landon.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's week to week. So does that include week one or is that in the preseason? I know guys have come back pretty dang quick from a meniscus in the past.
There's a chance, I guess, he could go week one is what the report I saw from, was it Shefty?
Yes.
It's a minor procedure is what they're calling it.
Calling it minor.
So that's a little bit of a dodge bullet situation there for him and the Philadelphia Eagles as Cowboys Eagles approaches. And Brian Billick joining us now here on 105.3 The Fan. He'll join us in a few minutes. But yeah, I would say initial thoughts on Cowboys Eagles. If Dickerson is out, that increases your chances of success. But I just imagine, you know, going off of what we saw last year, and then look, getting a good look at the depth on Saturday night, you're not going to plug any holes with guys that are going to be instant stars. You're plugging holes with guys that might just be sufficient. So I don't right now think that your weaknesses in any way from last year have been solved. And I hope Shoddy goes to the front office at some point and says, if you want a better team, we're going to have to, you know, buy some players because we failed so bad in the draft. And our key players have gotten hurt, you know. So I guess that is right now my outlook. I don't know if I've been this skeptical about the Cowboys having success in 2025 at any point since the season ended. I'd been building with optimism, and you know how tough that is for me. I've been building to believe. And Saturday night was a backbreaker for me.
Well, I'm back. Yeah, I get it, dude. I mean, I would like to think when you talk about their deficiencies, hopefully, if they can stay healthy, the offensive line, especially as the season goes, can be one that is at least a plus unit for you. But otherwise, yeah, defensively, you had huge questions, and it still remains. There's, like, the guys that you were watching. You just wanted to see, like, and I'm sure brought us through a couple guys, hey, decent here, decent there. But sure, you didn't have, like, one or two guys that popped, like, oh, wow. They really absolutely have something in this guy or this guy.
Yeah, like Overstreet did. Overshown a couple years ago, whatever.
Yeah, like the Rams had a couple of guys. I'm sure Rams fans are going, oh, wow, who's this kid? Is that Xavier Smith or whatever, the wide receiver? Going, this guy looks like he can really actually play. You just didn't even get much of that either. It was pretty frustrating.
At 877-881-1053, Gavin and brought us a fun fact. That's some Jennifer Lopez content. 817, I've had three torn meniscus surgeries. I was walking through Walmart the day of getting a six-pack. LOL. Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that a meniscus can be a nothing, especially if it's just a cleanup. But if it's bad, I saw Brandon Roy 1 year opt to have it clipped out, right, which is just, it's one of the options. We're just going to take out your meniscus. You'll probably be fine. And then he played like 3 weeks later in the playoffs, and he was never the same again. I think the same thing happened to Gilbert Arenas, if I'm not mistaken. So it happens, right? And there are tons and tons of meniscus surgery. So I would just say it's probably a nothing. And for the Eagles, it would be tough. He's one of only five guards since 2022 who's made the Pro Bowl every year. So he's on a hell of a run, and he's part of a really good offensive line.
Yeah, they probably would start Drew Kendall, the rookie at center, and then move Cam Jurgens over, don't you think, Wolchuk? Would that be kind of how you think?
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, that's going to be a huge loss, though. And, I mean, I guess, like, the report said best-case scenario for him. So I'd be willing to assume he's probably not going to play in that opener against the Cowboys. I mean, that'd be quite the recovery time. I guess you never know. Modern medicine's pretty amazing. But that... it's a big loss, Landon Dickerson, and now a rookie. I mean, the Cowboys are going to be playing a rookie along the offensive line, too. But that's certainly the calling card for that offense is that offensive line.
I don't think that Brett Tooth is very good for them as a backup.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's struggled. So, I could say I wouldn't be surprised. Cam Jurgens has played guard before, you know, and maybe they don't want to move him. But they do like that Drew Kendall from Boston College. So, his dad was a first-round pick with the Seahawks, I think, several in the middle 90s.
And Steen's been, I mean, yeah,
Steen's been pretty good too.
Move him over
well, they picked up Kenyon Green, right? I think he's been a little banged up, but
yeah, he has.
But he's a guy that you could play there. He's got some NFL experience.
2-1-4, is Osa going to take advantage? I think that's the opportunity right there. You know, you get Osa, you get this pass rush lined up, and if you can prevent them from running all over you. I mean, I think eventually it's almost a lock. Saquon Barkley is going to have a season-ending injury this year or be significantly slowed down from all that. There's just no way a player that's that injury-prone that after having 475 touches combined or whatever it was by the time they got through the Super Bowl is going to stay healthy this year, right? So I think, but, you know, you play them week one.
Yeah, I'll be slamming the Barkley overs. I don't really care what the line's at for his rushing yards.
Oh, week one. Oh, dude, yes. That's a hell of a parlay card right there. We can make a mortgage payment off Saquon Barkley alone.
That whole offense is going to be licking their chops. Which, I mean, honestly, how many offensive linemen would they need to be down in week one to feel like the defense could even have a chance?
Well, is Mike playing or not?
Well, that's a fair question. It didn't seem like Ezeraco was ready to come out of the gates like an Abdul Carter.
No, Ezeraco, I mean, that was surprising to me that he didn't.
I don't. I feel like he. I mean, he was bull rushing all the time.
Yeah, they tried to move him on some of the twist and movement things to kind of get him freed up a little bit, but it didn't pan out. It might have had something to do with the fact that he was playing next to some guys inside that he's not used to normally playing. Well, he hasn't played against because they've had some success, you know, with getting with getting Solomon Thomas and guys like that. So him playing on the guys that he was currently playing with might not have be the same ilk where they were getting the kind of movement and creating opportunities for him to get the rush.
You know, it really slowed me down on a lot of fronts. And Ezeraco is a player that I'm still very bullish on long term, but how much of an impact is he going to have? And then you have to like consider the idea that everything we saw in Oxnard was basically because the players they were going up against were bad, worse than the Rams backups by a significant margin. We're hoping for the best here, but I don't know what the path is right now to an optimistic and successful season. I think best case scenario right now is you have a top 10 pick and you have an opportunity to maybe go find a left tackle or a stud linebacker or another stud corner or, you know, a great player. That's got to be the hope. And, you know, you hope that all your good young players make it through healthy so you don't have to have another offseason plotting and planning for when they could possibly get you back to full strength. Coach Brian Schottenheimer has fired himself from giving the post-game prayer for cursing. Mm. Dude cursed during the post-game prayer, says he channeled his inner Ricky Bobby praying to baby Jesus. Says he'll use the same accountability of the Cowboys player for their undisciplined play and penalties. They will be benched, and he is out.
What was the word? Do we know the word?
It's probably yes.
Probably yes. We hope it seems like that's his favorite word.
I hope it wasn't a GD.
I remember that's the ultimate no-no. We were in middle school, and we had a kid that jumped up and did the prayer.
He was talking about
effing these kids up and,
all this stuff. I was like, my God.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Seventh grader.
I mean, you got to wait till you say amen before you say all that other stuff. You know, there's a place for both. It's football. But none of the same umbrella. It's two different umbrellas, Chief. You know that.
that's pretty amazing. I love that he brought that. Like, did that get brought up? Did he get asked about that? Or he just volunteered that information? That's pretty hilarious. But it makes plenty of sense as well when you hear him at the podium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he loves dropping an S-bomb.
I didn't catch the context of it. Actually, in the back of my mind now, I'm wondering if I'm butt-cracked on this, but...
it might be butt-cracking. It's possible.
But it's right on brand for Shoddy. And he was talking a lot about discipline today. Like, the guys heard me. He said, you know, at times you wonder when you ask for something and they don't do it, if they don't understand what you're asking them to do or they don't believe what you're saying is that important. And he kind of alluded to the fact that maybe he thought the latter was true now with his disciplined speeches and F-bombs tirades that he laid out in Oxnard. And then you get out there in the red zone. I think he had 3 red zone penalties. You're just giving away free yards to them in the red zone. Yep. So he said, I made sure this time they understood that I believe it's serious.
There you go.
And well, maybe, this time.
Good news, not a ball sack.
Okay, good.
We got Tommy Yarish. We got Joseph Hoyt.
Oh, the beat's
credible, credible journalists.
There is a lot of Stephon Gilmore on Twitter right now. Brian, I happened to be catching you with Jeffrey earlier today.
Sure.
Doesn't sound like many people over there think that's a good idea.
No, they will tell you when you ask them, like, they'll go, well, he does not run very well anymore. And it was kind of clear when he was here that he was slowing down. He didn't have the quickness. He didn't have the ability to close like he'd once. The toughness, all those things are still there, probably the desire there. But, you know, he just does not have the burst that he once had, the ability to drive on the football. And it's not me making up stuff. It's me asking, hey, what about Gilmore? You know, and I'm still in that mode of trying to ask about, you know, Asante Samuel Jr. and see where he's at. And I haven't heard anything one way or another about him. And what is there, Kendall Fuller is another
there
one
you go
that people yeah. are Kendall talking Fuller's about
what
there.
Do you hear about him?
I've not heard anything about Kendall Fuller as being involved. So, well, you know, it's now we have to kind of circle back and keep asking those questions. But I know every time I ask about Gilmore, they're like, he cannot run. And but this was at training camp. Maybe they're getting to a point where they feel maybe a little desperate about some things.
Yeah, you know, and I know your guy comes to mind, the son of the former Eagle, Asante Samuel Jr. Yeah. Is he healthy?
Yeah.
Same thing with Mike Hilton. He's the guy that struggled to stay healthy.
I mean, the thing that's unfortunate is they just seem out of range money-wise. Like, what do you imagine the Cowboys are willing to spend on a player right now? $1 to $3 million? $2 to $5 million? It's not much higher. I hope that Kendall Fuller is possible. I mean, honestly, Stephon Gilmore looked slow 2 years ago when he was here.
Yeah.
I can't imagine 2 years older that.
I wonder if they're just going to wait this out and see if they can get, and I'll say Carson, but I'm going to say Carson and Butler. I'll see if they're going to wait the Butler thing out and see if in fact.
Butler tore his ACL like last November?
Yeah.
October?
I need to see exactly when that is, because that might be something that they're playing, that they're playing that game of like, well, maybe we can get one of these back, but I'll check on that injury and see where we're at.
Okay, we'll step aside because it's time for the Cy Young Show here. Chris Young, Rangers president of baseball operations, is next here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and every Monday at 4:20, it's time for the Chris Young Show here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, the Chris Young Show presented by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you?
Well, yes, very well. It's always a fun day with Evaldi taking the hill, right?
Well, especially kind of given the circumstances of the weekend. And, you know, you turn the page and you move past. We had a tough weekend against a good Philly team. And now we've got Arizona here. And we have, what I think is the best or one of the best pitchers in the American League going tonight. So it's a great thing for us, and excited to get back on track, and there's nobody better to get us back on track than Evo.
Now, you mentioned the offense. Is that normal variance from your perspective?
Well, not really. I think that the reality is, you know, normal variance would be a few guys getting cold at once, not seeing, you know, the majority of the lineup going cold altogether. And so I'd like to say that, you know, we did expect to score, you know, 7-8 runs like we were doing for a period of time, or 5 or 6 runs. We knew that at some point, especially against good pitching, you know, it would come back down a little bit. But to kind of, you know, take a big step backwards, that wasn't the expectation. And I still believe that our offensive unit, our hitters are better than what they showed this weekend. And if we're gonna make a push here, we have to be better.
What was the cause of the lack of production?
Yeah, there's just multiple causes, but I think just the quality of a bat and the ability to handle the fastball. We just seemed late. We didn't seem on time, and not hitting with runners in scoring position, not getting the job done with runners in scoring position. Each game we scored early, and got leads in a couple of those, and then just couldn't continue to put pressure on the rest of the game, and not coming up with the big hit. We get a leadoff double and then we can't drive them in and score that next run. And it changes the way the last few innings are played too. It changes who we bring into the game from a relief standpoint. It changes who the other team brings into the game in leverage situations. And That's why playing ahead is so important. And we just didn't do a good enough job of continuing to add on and put pressure on the other team. And, you know, you have to give them credit too. We faced three really good pitchers with Philadelphia. But like I said, if we're going to be a team that's capable of winning a championship, we have to beat good pitching at some point.
You brought up Evo and him getting the ball tonight, and there's no better person to take the bump. I mean, what he's done this year, and really since he's been a Ranger, has been incredible. What stood out to you, and what's the case for him as we're all trying to rally? He deserves to be the Cy Young in our mind this year, CY.
Well, I think first and foremost, I think there's going to come a time at which we will make a strong push campaign for Evo. I think the biggest thing we need to do right now is to get back on track and to win, and Evo continue doing what he's doing. But, you know, there's a lot of baseball left, and he's got, you know, I think 9 or 10 starts left. And so that's a long way to go. And a lot can happen in that time period. So I think he's going to be focused on continuing to make good pitches and have good outings. And for us, focusing on the team goals. And as we get closer to the end here, if he keeps up what he's doing, I certainly think he deserves as much recognition as anybody when it comes to an award that honors the best pitcher in baseball.
Jock Peterson's been a bright spot offensively. What have you seen from him? What's been working?
Yeah, this is the Jock we expected when we signed him. This is just a really quality at bat, somebody who every time he steps in the box can do damage and also is going to have a disciplined approach and be able to you know, really put pressure on the opposing pitcher to make pitches. So it's been fun to see Jock kind of get going here. He's an infectious personality. And so to see him, you know, have some big hits and see the energy that he brings is really, really good. Now, the goal is to get a couple more guys going well like Jock. And if we can bunch those guys together, I think we'll get back to scoring some runs and getting back to winning.
Did you guys ever get close to having to consider shutting Jock down for the rest of the year?
You mean in terms of the health?
No, I mean just for performance.
That was not a consideration.
Chris Young here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, any regret not overpaying for a hitter at the deadline?
Well, I think the reality is that the hitters that were available to us and the conversations we had with teams, we just didn't have that opportunity. So I would love to have said we could go out and upgrade our offense and line up in a way that would have been meaningful and impactful. The reality is that opportunity wasn't there and you're a little bit at the mercy of the market. So, you know, what that overpay would look like and what, you know, what would make perhaps, you know, the fans happy, probably was not the right decision in terms of one, what was available to us, and two, just the reality of what the cost of the bats that were on the market were and kind of where we lined up from a prospect standpoint. So no, I think we did make our team better. I still believe in this team, and I think the best performance, the best improvement that we can have to our club is the internal improvement of our own, that we have really good players. And my expectation is that we get the best out of those players. And, you know, I think we're getting there with Jock, and we got to get there with a few others.
Hey, CY, was there something bothering Phil when he took the mound yesterday in the top of the inning? That didn't seem like his type of a performance with him out there.
No, not that I'm aware of. I didn't get any feedback post game on anything bothering him. You know, he came in, hit the first batter, and that guy came around to score. So nothing specifically that I was aware of. So, no, but I think, you know, he's a really good pitcher. He's been good for us thus far, and I think he'll continue to be very good pitching meaningful leverage innings for us.
How are things looking right now health-wise for Evan Carter, Sporzy, Malley?
Yeah, Evan just finished a live BP, looked really good, was driving the ball. Really positive to see how good he looked today in the live BP. He'll go out on rehab tomorrow. And the expectation is, you know, it should be a short rehab and he'll rejoin the team. We miss his at-bats in the middle of the lineup, just the quality of his approach and what he can do against right-handed pitching. So we certainly are missing that right now. Tyler Malley is continuing to do well. He's building up on his throwing program, should be getting off the mound here within the next week to 10 days. And from there, starting a build-up progression to get him back to action. And then Josh Spores, we've taken off his rehab assignment. Was dealing with a little bit of dead arm, little fatigue, tried to reset him. And so we're going to begin Josh building back up again here soon. And the hope is that the stuff will take another jump and he'll be an option for us at some point. But we've got a little ways to go there.
Chris Young here with you on 105.3 The Fan. I guess against Arizona here, some replacement level starters, tremendous opportunity this week to get the offense going, huh?
Look, it's the big leagues and every opponent is tough. But I do believe that our offense is much better than what we showed this weekend. And the expectation is that these guys are going to, they're going to bounce back, that they're going to show resilience and perseverance and a fight to allow us to get hot here. And that's what we're going to have to do to make a run. So, there's no doubt these last 10 days have been disappointing, but, I do believe in this group. And I think when they're motivated and they're hungry and they're playing the game the way they're capable, that we can beat anybody independent of who that is. So, we've got to go show it. So it's time for us to go do it, to get it done, and to play up to our capabilities. And like I said, if we do that, I'm confident that we can beat just about anybody in the big leagues. And then certainly this week we should have a good week.
CY, is that the most frustrating thing? Is you kind of feel like that it's kind of a two-step forward, one-step back approach a little bit with your team, that you're not having the consistency that you feel like that, hey, okay, we're going on the right path, we're doing the right things, we're playing, because you play great defense, you pitch, the hitting has been sometimes, it comes and goes, but has that been the most frustrating thing, that you feel like you do make some progress, but then you kind of revert back to some other things that are keeping you from winning games?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt. I mean, I can't sit here and, tell you that, 10 days ago before the deadline, we were 5 or 6 games over 500 and made some headway in the division, that, that this wasn't a team I felt wasn't capable of winning the division and going for it. And that was part of our calculus and decision-making going into the deadline. And then, to make the team better and add the pitching we added to get, a couple guys back on a health front, and feel like we're getting to a good spot, and then have kind of the disappointing, stretch here. I think we're 3-7 since the deadline. I mean, to me, that's not acceptable. Right. That's not who we are, and that's not the way that we should be playing. And so the expectation is higher. I don't do well with underachievement. And, I do believe that there's a better version of these guys in there, and it's time for that to come out. And I believe it will come out. I believe in all of these guys. I know how hard they work. I know how hard they care, how much they care. And if they go out and they play with fight and grit and passion and determination and those intangibles that I talk about often, I'll take us against anybody. I didn't see that as much this weekend. I'd like to see more of that. And if we do, I think that we'll be in a great spot. Our pitching will give us a chance. We've been in just about every single game. There was one blowout game against Philly that got away from us late with a rookie having to pitch the last 2 innings. But up until that point, it was a 4-1 game. And so with any offense this past weekend, we come away with at least one win, maybe 2 and possibly 3. So it needs to get better. It can get better, and I believe it will get better.
How'd you like the DeGrom start over the weekend? 8 punch-outs, 1 walk, 6 2/3. It looked like he was kind of getting back to being himself.
Yeah, he was great. His stuff was really, really good. The quality of pitching, the finish on the pitches, the swings. Jacob was tremendous. And, was disappointed that we couldn't get more runs for him. He had no margin of error, and eventually Philly kind of broke through and got a couple there in the 7th inning to knock him out. But the reality is that if we had kind of pitched from ahead, if we had played from ahead that game, Philly may not have gotten those runs, and Jacob may have gone 7 strong. So, it was just a tough outing in terms of, the result, but Jacob pitched great, gave us a chance to win.
What'd you think of that wild Adolis Garcia snag there, barehanded? I don't even know how in the world he did that.
Yeah, that was something else. So I was glad he made the catch, most importantly. So I hope that we'll continue to make those catches. And our defense has been very solid all around, all season long. We're an elite defensive team. And if we continue to catch the ball, our pitchers are going to benefit. And then it should take some pressure off the offense, too, because we don't have to score as many runs to win. But we're going to have to score more than we did.
How do you and Boach look at, like, the season winding down? Do you want to get into a playoff mindset right now, or do you just keep going day by day here as the, I guess, the pressure really ratchets it up from the media and fan perspective?
Well, I think the reality of where we are in the standings, we're looking up. And we've got to win. And we didn't build the what I call the collateral in the first half, or the cushion in the first half, to give us a margin of error in the second. So we've got to play good baseball, and every game matters. And I'd like it, Boach is managing that way, and I'd like us to approach it that way, that we can't give anything away at this point. We got to go out and win. And I don't think that's added pressure. I think it's just the reality of where we are. And it just means we need to do what we do best and play our best baseball. And if we do that, I think the results will take care of themselves.
Well, you're the man, CY. Thanks for answering all of our questions, even when some of mine are a little awkward. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's all good. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get hot here this week. So thank you, guys.
Right on. Salute. There he goes. The Chris Young Show here every Monday at 4:20, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and brought to you by PlayScore. And, yeah, it's a big series here tonight. And, yeah, the Diamondbacks, obviously they traded away one of their better pitchers, and they have not had a healthy rotational year. So it's a big opportunity here to light them up. And, man, you know, what I was getting at with, like, is this normal variance? You know, do you look at your struggles as, hey, we're still doing our job, but the ball didn't get put in play, or we got some unlucky mm-hmm. breaks? I mean, he really, you know, didn't want anything to do with that idea. He's yeah. like, man, we're all not hitting, and we need to start hitting ASAP. So
it's amazing the amount of confidence he has in his team when his team shakes it every day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and they do. I mean, he does not waver from that. You know, that like he believes. Now, maybe privately he's
sure.
he's thinking like, well, man, this is I didn't do a good enough job. But his ability to just keep confident of his ball club, I think is something we can all learn from. But, man, I'll tell you, that would be tough being over there and feeling like that, hey, we're playing well. And then all of a sudden we're not playing well. You know, it just. No consistency at all there. But and I think the biggest thing is they've been inconsistent really all year, you know, winning games and the way they're losing games.
They've just been bad on offense all year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like you're sitting there and you're looking at one of the best defensive clubs and best pitching clubs in all the game. So it's like, damn. I mean, we've got everything kind of figured out. If we could just average 5-6 runs a game, you're looking at arguably the best record in Major League Baseball.
Well, if you need some Cowboys confidence, we will attempt to do just that. I vented several times about what happened Saturday. Who are Cowboys players that had a positive Saturday night? We'll get to that here coming up next. It's the G-Back Nation, the fam. Thank you very much, Lucius. And thanks to Chris Young, who just joined us there for the Rangers President of Baseball Operations Show every Monday, 4:20. You can go back and listen with the Odyssey app. If you're up for it, we're going to talk some Cowboys right here in just a second, what Coach Eberflus was not pleased with. And then, you know, players that stood out positively to you, if you want to text in on that subject at 877-881-1053, who's the Cowboy you're most optimistic about based on Saturday's game? Have you guys seen this bit on social that asks, what are the four major U.S. cities? It's fascinating to me.
I heard Sean and RJ talking about this the other day.
Okay, they did talk about this.
And, I haven't seen the results, but I think the first three are, like, no-brainers. Yeah. It's like L.A., New York, Chicago. Those are the first ones that come to mind. Then I guess it would be Dallas?
Fort Worth. You know,
I mean, those are the four biggest markets, right?
Fourth biggest TV market. I was wondering if it was, you know, technically DFW or was that San Francisco? I saw Trayvon Diggs went in for District of Columbia, obviously nation's capital. Maybe that gets promoted because of its status as the nation's capital. Miami got mentioned by a player. I think it just doesn't have the size. I think, though, in sports, though, Miami is considered a major market destination.
How about Boston for historical value?
See, Boston, I think, is in the conversation as well with DFW and San Francisco. Is there any others? Maybe Philadelphia? Philadelphia is like top six or seven.
Yeah, Philadelphia would be historic as well.
Incredible amount of history there.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you got thoughts on that at 877-881-1053, I thought that was a pretty fun little bit to pay attention to over the weekend. Coach Flew says he was not pleased with the tackling in the game. We were too high with our pads. That was a continuation from the joint practice from Tuesday. Said there will be an emphasis on tackling this week during practice with the next game coming up Saturday night against the Baltimore Ravens. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's a big game, too, here. See how much of this stuff they can get cleaned up. Okay, at 877-881-1053, who are your top performers? Wolchuk, I know you're frustrated with Mozzie and Scooney on the downside, and I totally agree with you. Like, don't waste a roster spot on them. See if the Chargers will take them with Jim Harbaugh coaching out there. Who'd you like, though?
I thought Zion Childress had himself a good game. The undrafted rookie free agent out of Kentucky. I mean, to me, he played some slot. He made some tackles in the run game. He's got to change the number. I mean, the poor guy wearing the 48 just doesn't look good. But Zion Childress looked like he belonged. I thought Elijah Clark, the safety as well, stepped up, made some good plays in the running game. Rivaldo Fairweather, the rookie tight end from Auburn, I mean, he looked like a natural. And he was a pass-catching tight end in Auburn. Not a guy, though, that I think is a great blocker, but maybe he can improve in that area. I think that's the reason why I'm willing to cut ties on Scooney if another team will give you something, is I just think he's got more upside as a pass catcher, and I'm just not seeing the improvement at all from Schoonmaker as a consistent run blocker. So if I'm going to keep a guy that's not good at run blocking because my other guy's not good at it, I'd rather have the guy that's better as a pass catcher, and that'd be Fairweather in my opinion.
I mean, Childress does tackle like a 48, you know? He's physical, oh, like, yeah, a 48.
Yeah. He's a strappy player, man.
I like that. And, you know, I wonder what the rest of his defensive profile looks like. There's some cut-ups on Twitter of him being pretty sticky in coverage as well, Brian.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, to me, that was they're going to have to open up this. I said it earlier in the program, but they're going to have to open up this nickel slot and figure out is, in fact, it's going to be Bland and who's going to play on the outside. And, you know, and I kind of feel like that Childress is a guy that deserves an opportunity. I, you know, no offense to our Mean Green guys, but I just don't like Hall in that spot.
He's getting picked on.
Yeah. And I think they've picked on him, and they pick on him in practice too. And so I think that he was elevated because they feel like that he can handle the job. He's smart. He understands where he needs to be and all that. But boy, he played like he was in quicksand the other day. And that zone coverage, just the reactions and stuff were slow. And, you know, you got to be a dog to play inside like that. And I don't know if he necessarily is that type of guy. I think that Childress has a much better demeanor. And by the way, I got some updates on Carson and Butler. Butler is, you're right, he's like several weeks away,
okay,
from even being back out there. And then Carson is coming along, so he'll be closer, but.
We need those guys to be legit depth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Did you put Childress in like your top five thumbs up players?
I did not.
Okay.
I did
Who
not.
Were yours?
I tell you what I did. I had a list of about 12 guys, and I did it because I was just going down the roster and I was doing it off my flip card here, and I went with Holden. I really liked. Mm-hmm. I liked what I saw from Flannoy.
Yep.
I really liked what I saw from let me see here, my other offensive guys. I went for Hoffman and Bass. I liked with them, but I thought the best offensive lineman, I said this earlier, was Awesome Richards, is who I thought there. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I was happy to see that Israel McQuamu made a play or two. I was happy for Tommy King Abasote, and with the defensive tackles, I felt like that we've talked about JT. This defensive tackle group is kind of much maligned because everybody focuses on it because of the run defense stuff, but they had some stuff with Daxton, with King Abasote, and then was also with JT that they were able to kind of, you know, at times they were able to play the point of attack, forced the Rams, especially after the second series. They kind of forced the Rams into, when they were running the football, they were holding up, stacking up, and just, you know, letting the linebackers and others have opportunity to make some tackles. Got wore down there at the end, but I was pretty impressed with JT and how he played for a guy that size.
Did the left tackle do anything for you, Nate Thomas?
I personally felt like that, if you ask me, I felt like that Richards was better than him.
I thought Nate Thomas was pretty good early in the game. I mean, he just didn't. He wasn't beating you. Right?
There was a couple pressures coming on his side, and I couldn't tell how bad he messed that up or if it was somebody else's responsibility.
Yeah, I think Zach's right. I don't think there's anything wrong with Thomas. I just would like to see more of a competition there at that spot. Okay. And you know, if we're going to get to like I say Philadelphia, and maybe we'll be in or situation where you could put Awesome Richards in there and see if he can battle. I did believe Awesome Richards could have battled Guyton for that spot.
Are you hearing anything about Lyle Collins?
He was awful. He was awful.
He's awful.
Yeah. Okay.
He looked like he was getting pushed around.
Well, and he's awful because he hasn't played in so many years.
It looked like it.
He was a little high, but he got in at the end of the game. I didn't think he got pushed around.
He was stiff. He got knocked to the ground. He got knocked to the ground one time. He went out second level, got knocked to the ground. And then the other one, though, he just got overextended and the ball went. They went past him. But he didn't look as athletic as he tested the other day.
No.
When he was the pop, the knee bend, the balance, those things, it's like he hadn't played in a long time.
Yeah.
I was very critical of that. But to me, I was kind of expecting a little bit more, but he looked like a guy that just his body just didn't allow him to bend.
Do you endorse the Phil Maffa hype?
I think Phil Maffa did fine. I mean, you talk about complete players, the way he caught the football, the way that he was able to run the ball and his blocking. He had a blitz pickup that allowed Milton to get the ball out to the sideline one time. So as far as everything that he needs to do to get your attention, absolutely.
When I say Treshawn Holden is the third best pure pass-catching wide receiver, is that hyperbole?
I think that to me they would probably are you saying it's just far as hands or what do you
how a
you,
guy who's going to go out and catch the ball?
He's not going to run away from you.
No,
that's the problem that you're going to. I'll tell you, a guy like him. I think him and Brooks are two guys that catch the ball really, really, really well.
I think we've finally seen
Flournoy have an opportunity. Mingo,
but Holden's better like getting open.
I'll say this about Mingo: if they're going to ask Mingo to be the big body block guy. Like they had an opportunity where they run the ball to the edge and Mingo's on the outside and he does not get a block and it gets Joe Milton hit running. It's a straight run. I mean, it's one of those straight runs where they took the ball and he took off to the left, started to run, and Mingo's on the outside and he missed the inside block. It didn't get anybody, and then Joe Milton gets hit. If Mingo's not going to be that type of blocker, then that's that spot. I mean, we talk about him, big body guy, catch the ball, block. He needs to do all those things.
Well, there's so much more to talk about, and the good news is we have 90 more minutes of show here in the G-Bag Nation. Sorry, Chief, I didn't get to you. Did you have players Saturday night that you thought were good?
I felt like Childress was one of those guys. I thought Maffa was pretty dang impressive. Leofau jumped out for sure, which you would expect because that's an actual NFL player right there among guys who oftentimes are not even going to be making the team. So there was a handful for sure.
All right. It is time for an edition of Football's Finest. Where are you taking us?
We actually have the QB tiers list out and about. Where's Dak on that and some around the NFL preseason takeaways next in the nation.